feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
It sounds like you worked a lot.
There's how many? I think there's two guitar tracks.
Wow.
Like, I had to like double them to make them sound better.
Cause oh, really?
I did nothing. I was like, all right, one track, and then I listened to it. I was like, oh man, am I gonna have to double track guitar?
Oh no, I'm doing this for real.
For a 30-second bit. God damn it.
Well, we can't come in on show talk, but whatever. I don't care. We're up against it. Hi, George.
Hey. I'm glad we're all up against it.
You guys get a little less against everything.
Oh, maybe it's Megetz. Megetz is here.
Oh, hi.
Throwing off the vibe of the
hi,
intro.
Meg.
Hi, Meg. Dare you.
Fine. Whatever.
The three of us have had drastically different but equally exhausting weeks and weekends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're all meeting at a exhausting crossroads here the day before this episode comes out.
We're planning. You guys are planning something far more important. I've just been drinking all day in the sun because it was 75 degrees in Philadelphia today.
Yeah, I spent all day yesterday drinking, but it was inside. Mm-hmm. And I feel every bit of it.
Yeah. I had Damon, friend of the show, Damon Postolakis. He came to visit.
Hi, Damon.
Yesterday. That's why all these pillows are behind me.
Hello.
This is also the guest room. So if you ever need to do an overnight on a Feel Feelings podcast, you stay in where George records. But we went to Human Robot, the one on Passyunk.
Yeah. Is that any good? I haven't been there.
It's great. It's great. Beers are hard to pronounce, but they taste like beer.
I like their logo.
And then we downed a pitcher of margaritas at Cantina. And then we woke up, and then he went home, and then me and Casey immediately started drinking again.
That's the way to do it.
You got to push through. Mm-hmm. But y'all, I mean, Dan, if you want to fill the folks in where you were and who you got to see, and then Meg, we got a lot to talk about.
Yay. Okay.
So, yeah, for me, I went to AC Beer Fest, wow, which, you know, has become somewhat of a tradition. I try to go every year. I've missed a couple. I didn't go last year, but
it's very punk rock. It's very punk rock to go to Beer mm-hmm. Fest. It's becoming more and more of a punk rock pilgrimage.
It's the 10-year anniversary of the event, and to honor that, they had Saves the Day come back, who played the first one. So, like, you know, they're really leaning into that side of the event. Like, it's as much about music as it is, you know, beer. And I don't really care about beer.
It's true. How is Saves the Day? Hold up. His voice still real high?
Well, I didn't get to see them, but I did see, I wish I remember the band, Keep Flying, something like that.
Oh, yeah, Keep Flying. They're great.
They were really good. But
Keep Flying. Their saxophone player used to run merch for the Wonder Years, so I'd always see him behind the big gauges, probably wearing shorts.
Yeah, at one point, because they were the opener for the later session, which is the one that I was at, and they just, you know, didn't seem like it sounded any different to me from where I was, but they were like, yeah, that's Saves the Day. They were here before, and oh, look, that's Catch 22. They were also here before. I tried to like rush over and go see them, but they were gone. But the band I did get to see was Goldfinger.
And now I want to play Tony Hawk.
I love Goldfinger. Like, holy shit, the pit when they played Superman was amazing. A circle pit at a beer fest.
Sounds risky, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you.
It was pretty cool because like nobody was really paying attention to the openers, like the first two bands, But then by the time Goldfinger was there, like the whole area filled up and it was really cool.
Right on.
And they played like perfect, like casual fan set too, where it was
cool.
Here
Like
in your
everybody
bedroom
knew.
And Superman. And then, yeah, they played their Just Like Heaven cover, and they opened, they called for the opening of the pit. They were like, let's get this going. And they started a Metallica riff, and then they counted it in and played the Friends theme song. And it was so fun. It was
that
so
is
funny.
That's very fun. That's on some replacement shit where
yeah.
they're screwing around with people now.
Their one guitarist took the mic for a song and sang the entirety of song two.
Like from Blur.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
and
unaware
like,
of multiple song twos, but just to verify.
Yeah, that one. The song two. So yeah, it was just like a very much a for the people, like Goldfinger set. And you know, they're probably making a good chunk of money, and they're all probably fairly well off from the production projects that he has. So it's like, you know what? They get to just fuck around, and that's kind of cool.
That's the best.
I assume all Goldfinger shows are for the people. That's just
I mean,
the
no,
type
some
of
them are for them, and they only play deep cuts.
Yeah.
The one time I saw them, it was
I want to see that Goldfinger show. They're like,
oh, it'd be
all
amazing.
You.
They play like that, like Wayne Gretzky's the only guy I'd have sex with song. I was trying to like coax that into existence because everybody I was with was like a real big hockey fan.
Sure.
So I just like kept like loudly saying it as I was walking around the convention center. Like, do you think they're gonna play that Wayne Gretzky song? Like, I don't know if they can hear me, but
Meg, I will say that the one band I did see that was not for the people, it was just for them, was when I was a kid and went to Warped Tour and saw NoFX. And every day of that tour, they chose a different letter of the day. And that's the only songs they played were songs that started with that letter. So they
what
didn't
letter?
Play any hits.
No.
What letter did you get?
S. It was
okay,
the
not too bad.
Set list. So it was, what was it? It was Separation of Church and State, Sold Out. There's a couple other ones sticking in my eye, but like all good tunes, but like not Bob. I think they actually may have closed on Bob, but like
Bob.
Yeah, the Linoleum. No, no, we're not doing Linoleum. Fuck you. And actively throughout that set too, they were telling people to go watch other bands they didn't think were good. They're like, if you're not enjoying yourselves, you can go see the Pink Spiders. They're playing right now. Go see the
Pink
Spiders.
Pink
Spiders.
Oh, yeah, they aren't good, but I did like them. I met them at Bamboozle.
That sounds right. That's exactly where you would meet the Pink Spiders.
They seemed like they hated themselves. They were very miserable.
Oh, I bet you there's a number of those like hired hand type bands that are like, shit, this was just supposed to be a job. I didn't think this was going to break. I'm stuck here now.
I have friends like that.
Yeah.
They seem to be happier than they usually are. But if you ever wind up at a We the Kings concert.
Oh,
I didn't
damn.
Know we were going to name names.
Oh, we're naming names. Go check out their keyboard player. He played in an amazing band that we've talked about on the show before. Called the Queen Killing Kings, which
at a tiny bar in Boston.
It's the best. They're the best band without any guitar player. And then he joined We the Kings, which just seems like when you know what the Queen Killing Kings sound like, the fact that Goalie went to work for We the Kings, you're like, this is an odd choice for you, Goalie.
Yeah, I don't know We the Kings, so.
Yeah, he went from like Bamboozle power pop.
Is We the Kings Hey Juliet?
Yeah, Check Yes Juliet.
Oh, okay.
Hey
yeah,
Juliet's
yeah.
The pop band. Check Yes Juliet was We the Kings. But they were like, you know, fluorescent sunglasses and monster, neon monster merch tank top band. And the Queen Killing Kings were like, dark organ cabaret.
Yeah,
via
they're
New England.
they're a rock band, like just a straight up like kind of bar band.
Oh, they're great though. I miss them terribly. Meg, we should do a lightning round really quickly.
Yeah. Okay. My brain's a little like.
It's okay.
We've all had long
That's
weekends,
why we're
so
doing
I
it. And
I think
your brain might melt just a little bit more.
It feels like it's melting. Okay.
It's about to come out your ears.
Why, George? Is it because we have a 30-second theme song for the lightning round?
Because we have a theme song
now?
For the lightning round.
Woo!
Because I worked very hard on quite possibly. That's not true. The pie episode was stupid. This may be a third stupidest thing I've ever done on this podcast.
Is it playing? I don't hear it.
No.
No.
Hmm.
Yeah, this was pretty dumb, wasn't it?
Yeah, so good. Gotcha, bitches. Didn't write it at all.
What a fun bit.
Such
you guys
a good
want me
bit.
To sing Pink Spider songs till you get
do
it?
Do it. Hey, hey, little razor blade.
Hey, hey, little. The part I do like is when that girl is pretty as a car crash, subtle as a splinter. That's all, that part of it
is
really
fun.
That is
good lyric. I like that lyric a lot.
I think I could sense how much they hated everything, and it just made me like them more.
I was like, I'm attracted to this. You're my new favorite band.
Yeah,
I'm contributing to your downfall.
Yeah.
I love your nihilism. Can you sign my shirt?
I hated everything.
This will be cut. So yeah, technical difficulties out of the way. Here's our brand new lightning round theme song.
This is so stupid.
Oh, the guitar.
Not
the
only
there.
Is it a double tracked guitar and a EQ'd bass through a bass EQ that costs $500, a guitar solo, which I don't do very often, for 30 seconds of the stupidest thing I've ever done. Based off of a song not featured in the film Inside Out, where these emotions come from.
That's right. The way too convoluted to even remember all the steps. Kerchoo lightning round brought to you by Tom Cochran. Is that who that one is that we're ripping off now?
Oh no, we're ripping off Rascal Flatts. The Tom Cochran.
Oh
one,
right.
He doesn't sound. I tried to do the Tom Cochran one, but the entire verse is him just too close to a microphone going. He's just like scatting essentially into a microphone as fast as he can. At least the Rascal Flatts one, like, they enunciated.
Well,
but that's the lightning round theme song.
It is time for the lightning
round. I may do another one. I hate it so much.
Thank you for having me. All right, bye everybody.
So yeah, you were
it was good.
You were the first guest to do a lightning round, and now you're the first guest to do a lightning round with a theme song. So, you know. So many honors.
Ka-chow.
Ka-chow. I tried to do like Owen Wilson's impression.
Ka-chow. It sounded like it.
No, and then I just at the end of it was like, I'm just going to say ka-chow. Like, I thought it was way funner instead of being like, ka-chow. Ka-chow.
Ka-chow. That kind of sounds like, what's her name? The one that only
Jennifer
eats.
Coolidge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ka-chow.
Female Owen Wilson.
Is that what there is? Anyway, okay, sorry. That's my
so
very important.
For you and for listeners who might have missed the last couple, we're down to five in the lightning round. There's sadness, joy, anger, disgust, and fear, which, you know, more relates to that movie than originally when we had another one. But
Cars.
You know, we know nothing about that movie. Kerchoo.
So
Meg, what makes you feel anger?
Oh God. I get angry.
Yes, but what makes you angry?
I'm trying to think of what I said. I can't remember what I said last time, and I'm trying not to say that again.
Oh, don't worry about it. No one cares.
I get what were you gonna say?
I said no one else remembers either. You're fine.
No one remembers. Okay. Here's one I don't think I said. I get irrationally furious when someone I don't think deserves something gets it.
Yeah, I just recently had something like that, and I can't wait to hear more about that.
What makes you feel fear?
Fear. Being alone.
What? What makes you feel disgust?
When something is slimy or if something smells weird. Am I supposed to be giving stories or is this what you're
looking for? No. We'll come back and we'll talk about the ones.
What do you mean, Meg? You've done this before.
Yeah.
All right. I remember.
Remember either. What makes you feel sadness?
The news.
And what makes you feel joy?
Oh, cheese boards.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well,
why don't we start on cheese board? Because I feel like that'll be a quick topic. And you get to brag about the creation you made.
I saw a picture
for
of this.
The weekend.
Holy shit. Please elaborate.
Yeah, walk
on
us through the process on that one, because I didn't get to enjoy it, but it was maybe one of the best ones you've done.
It was, I think, my magnum opus. It was the best one I've done so far. Yeah.
She's so I'm not quitting yet.
I'm not out of the game. what's weird. Okay, so I am obsessed with De Bruno Brothers, which is a very fancy little cheese place in the Italian market of Philadelphia. And what's super fun about them is that they let you try the cheese before you buy it. So you'll like talk to a cheesemonger and they'll be like, what are you looking for? And every single time I go, I have specifically three types of cheese that I ask for. I ask for a soft one. I ask for a crystally one.
Shout out Jake Matera.
So, yeah. The album specifically was named after cheese. No, it wasn't. But that'd be cool. A crystally one, which is just the way that they make the cheese during the aging process, protein crystallizes in the cheese and it's so fucking delicious. And then the final one I asked for is a weird one that's still tasty, but people probably wouldn't try if it wasn't randomly on a board they didn't pay for. So I go for that. And then I just build from there. I really like having chocolate because I just like the creamy cheese with chocolate.
Oh,
and then
that's a great combo. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So good. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also if you're into Bruno's, the number one compliment that I always get when I make cheese board is their truffle honey. So I had their truffle honey on it.
Goodness. Yeah.
Their truffle honey, like with any cured meat, I'm like, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. It is so delicious. And then when I want to spruce it up, I put little flowers on those around the side. And then you can get like decorative toothpicks that you can put in the brie, and then everybody thinks you're super. Oh, and then the other thing, so their most popular cheese is the Lemieux Gouda, and that's one of my crystally ones. It's so crystally and delicious.
Love
and
Gouda.
It always pairs with the black lava cashews. So anyway, I love cheese. I don't know anything about it. Like, I can't be like, this is from the Champagne region of France or anything, but I'm like, I eat this one a lot. Like, when I get the three, I eat the whole thing.
I eat this off
sick.
The brick.
Yeah. you're a different kind of authority. Yeah.
You're bringing a truly Philadelphian style oeuvre to the cheesemonger universe to be like, holy shit, dude, have you had this?
It's actually insane.
I feel like it's worth pointing out that you, with your lack of expertise, have been able to hold many cheese conversations with my cousin, who is like fully trained cheesemonger.
I like the idea of having a conversation with your, like, Mech having a conversation with your cousin where they're going like, oh yes, this is a crystal cheese, like, you know, it creates that whole thing, and Meg just in the background going, oh fuck, dude. Yeah.
When I eat it, my eyes roll to the back of my head.
Yeah, it feels like how I watch baseball, where I'm like, yeah, I don't know how they actually do any of this stuff. I can't, but like, I know how to appreciate this.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. And happy, I'm sorry we didn't talk during poop game week, but happy poop game week, Danny.
Oh my God, people were so mad on Friday when...
Oh, poop game. It took me a second.
Yeah.
It's the poop game.
On Friday where they unveiled the...
Poop game.
For the new uniforms on Friday. instead of having a P as the Phillies logo, they had the Liberty Bell, and people were so mad. They're like, "How dare you deny us poop game?"
Did it say oop? Because that's kind of fun. Oop.
Oop,
Like that.
Bell oop. So for those listening out of state, poop game is when the Phillies versus the Pirates, and at the first inning, there is a the scoreboard says P00P on the thing, so it says poop, and that's that's very exciting. Although Pirates were usually first, so was the Liberty Bell,
It was the second one, yeah. So
yeah,
like
so
it just said poo.
it was a poo game, so it's
Poo
still a poop
Bell.
game.
Poo
Poo
Bell? What's
Bell.
that? Poo Bell is something. Is
Poo Bell.
Poo Bell
And then,
cheese?
probably Meg.
Yeah.
and then I think today it was 3-3. Oh no, yesterday's game
Yeah,
got to
one of the
3-3
games
for a
this week.
while.
Yeah.
And so it was peep game.
Peep game.
So a lot of fun happening here in the city of Philadelphia. Let's talk, because we've done the lightning round and we almost moved too far because, oh my God, cheese board. Hell yeah.
Do
Love
we
cheese
get,
board.
do we have time for undeserved successes?
Yeah, let's do some undeserved successes real quick. Name names
Yeah,
for
Meg,
Patreon.
throw them under the bus. Who are they?
What? What am I doing? What is undeserved
Your
successes?
that's how I wrote down your anger.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to give credit to people that don't deserve it. Like,
Yeah.
shout out,
Do it.
I'd like to award a congratulations to,
Shout out
give
to
it to me. You
Seamus
heard,
Millar for all
yo,
his
no,
hard
give it to
work on the
me.
Iran fight.
You heard that intro to this bit. All right, give me my flowers. So,
Yeah.
shout out George Bruderman for whipping together
For just
a very intricate song
an
that sounds
atrocious song that's 6 months too late.
you're hoping
Lightning.
it doesn't get this episode taken down
It
off
is at lightning
of
round speed as our lightning goes, so it's fine.
nope.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a specific person, or obviously I'm sure I have.
Coward.
I've just had no I've had so many moments like this in both work and comedy and just life where like you think that the universe is fair and then you see just like it not be fair,
Yeah.
and it really makes you stop believing in Disney movies.
Come on, didn't
You
you see
know?
Wish? They put them all in one movie. Oh man.
I was told
I
being a
was just
bad
gonna
person
reference
means
Wish.
that you get fired from your job, but turns out sometimes you get promoted.
Yeah, you can be the right kind of bad person.
Yeah, that's the fucking. Oh, it makes me.
Oh,
I'm
it's
getting really.
terrible.
Isn't that the
Yeah,
worst?
it's
You
what
guys
an
want to throw
insane
anybody under
sentence.
the bus?
I've been experiencing that a little bit this week, but we really can't dive too deep into it until we're off mic on break. Because I gotta throw some names around and I gotta throw some weight around. And it's all with love, but it's hurting me. But like, yeah, to see certain people gain the success that not in a jealous way, but you're like, in no way is karmic are you karmically allowed to do this? How dare you?
It happens in comedy where I'm like, okay, so here's my thing. When I say not fair, like they don't deserve it, I don't even just mean by joke standard. I mean, personality
Oh
wise,
yeah,
they
that
are
they're not a good person.
atrocious.
Yeah.
They are just like yucky. And then on top of that, they're not funny because uncool people are also unfunny, but they just are good at stuff that makes you go far in this day and age of comedy. And
Ugh.
somehow they're squeaking by. I'm just like, ugh. Because if you're
The
not funny, but you're a nice person, I'm still like, hell yeah, go
That's
for
why
it.
I have a
You
show. Yeah.
know? Stop, George.
I'm
Yeah,
very nice. That's what a lot of people tell about me. And I'm like, but I'm funny, right? And they're
oh.
like, you're so nice.
I
The
wouldn't
worst
know.
I've
Everyone
seen
says I'm
lately.
horrible and funny.
You're very mean, Meg.
The worst version I've seen lately, and it seems to be happening more and more, is people who are like proficient at telling jokes, just not good at telling good jokes. So like you can see why the audience is going with it because it's clearly a joke. So they're like hitting the cue of like now's the time to laugh. But if you take any second to be like, wait, what was that joke? There's nothing there.
Yeah. It's walking, as I call it.
Yeah.
It's when they pause for the joke because they know, like, okay, timing wise, I pause for laugh here.
Yeah, the,
and it
the
elicits...
Chappelle hit the mic on your leg shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's the waka waka. Now is your time to laugh, and it's you do it as like a Pavlovian response because if you watch comedy for long enough, you know, like, oh, okay, haha. And then as soon as you dive deeper into it a little bit, like, wait a second. Why did I laugh at that?
It also makes me like really furthering the anger, furious at humanity too when crowds laugh at stuff that isn't funny.
Because
I'm like, you're reinforcing their bad behavior. Like when it's crowd work, that is just unbelievably hacky, right? Like it's, you know, you listen to it and then you just see crowds losing it and you're like, come on.
Nice shirt, asshole. And then you get like a 5 minute standing ovation.
Yeah.
It is a nice shirt.
He's speaking truth to power.
This is my power shirt.
So
awful.
Yeah,
awful time. Me and you have the same disgust. I don't like touching raw chicken. I don't like cooking.
Raw chicken's a big one. I guess
that used to be my
one.
Job. I hated it.
Ooh,
it was worse
awful.
Wearing gloves to do it. It's like that weird like extra layer of like you feel it but you're not feeling it. Just like made it worse. It was awful. But then I got to eat the chicken and it was great.
Well, as long as it wasn't raw.
Well, yeah.
Was
it wings over?
It was wings over.
This is one of the reasons why I think we were made for each other because wings over was my favorite place at State College.
Yeah.
It is so good. Again, mouth watering.
I worked at Wings Over Brookline, I think, in Boston.
You can't make them though, right? You don't know how to do it here.
I mean, we don't have a deep fryer or the ingredients for any of the sauces.
Okay, well, hold
you
on. We have
my anger.
we have a a devoted listening base, and you guys are getting married. I'm gonna say
give us
it
a
here.
Legit deep fryer.
You put
that
on your registry. Let's get the Getz's.
Commercial grade.
A commercial grade deep fryer.
Yeah, complete with like the oil tanks to dump the oil in when you need to change it, all that stuff.
Living in South Philadelphia again? Yeah, you could just run a hose out your window.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've seen it. I've seen it.
I need at least a 1 year subscription to an oil delivery company.
Someone left a beer and a styrofoam cup of yellow liquid that is still unknown of what it was on top of our left a Modelo can on my car and a styrofoam cup of yellow liquid on my mailbox. So
was it over near your house? Because I knocked over a cup in the rain the other day, and you know another mysteriously colored liquid came out.
Probably was.
Ugh,
it's dirty over here. It's dirty over here.
Exactly.
Just a shy away from Pashyunk and Philadelphia because they don't care about the block just next to it. They only care about Restaurant Row.
It's hard enough to care about one thing.
It's tough. Should we spin the wheel and see what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like that'll lead into the fear one there pretty well too. So let's see. Is it playing?
Yes.
Sweet, I'm not getting any of it on my side. And we got disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We will be back to talk more about disoriented after these short messages.
Hey everyone, Danny here with plugs. We're doing this last minute, so instead of waiting for the episode to be over, we're legit doing it right now in the middle of the episode. Hi, Meg.
Hi.
Hi.
Meg, what do you have to plug this week?
All right. This Friday, I will be doing a stand-up trolley show. So that is the 19th. I should probably have more information on it. It's through Founding Footsteps.
Founding Footsteps. I know that much.
So it's like a tour of the city, and then like between stops, we do comedy for you. I'm gonna get so drunk. It's gonna be so much fun.
Hell yeah.
And then on the 20th, I have shows with you, Dan. Do you wanna go into your shows?
Sure. For me, on the 19th, I have your show that you're abandoning to ride a trolley for a night. But that's at the Lab in Ambler. Mm-hmm. It'll be with Jake Matera, Tan Huang, Joe Bell, and Dan Clark. That's going to be a really fun show. And Dan and I are both from that area. So if you are interested in going, get your tickets, because that's the only place where either of us can really draw. So tickets will probably sell out, might already be. And then the 20th, Meg and I have two shows in Allentown. It's 4:30 and 7:30, and I don't have more details, but follow either of us and we'll make sure all the info is out there. George, you have anything?
I do. So if you are listening to this the day it comes out, which is Monday the
15th,
on Tuesday the 16th, we are doing Spin to Freak and Wheel at Case Comedy in
Hell yeah.
West Philly. It's going to be a lot of fun. We had a quick little meeting before my other two co-hosts were doing Awful Wrestling during WrestleMania, and we added a bunch of cool new things to the wheel. So it's going to be very silly, very fun. Someone's going to have to read from one of my wife's very smutty books instead of doing their jokes. So it's going to be a very fun time. Come on out.
You have to bookmark the part. Are you doing that?
Oh, no, we bookmarked the part, and she literally opened it up to the first page, like, just in the cracked the book in half and found what I think, like, may be illegal in some countries. A level of smut.
Wow.
Yeah.
Committed to print, not just online.
No, like, this is, they published this pornography, and I can't wait to make John Deere read it. So yeah, come out to all the shows. It sounds like everyone's got a stack lineup, and it's gonna be a great time. So if you're listening, come out, support your local comedian, and hell yeah, let's go back to the show, shall we? Play the music.
We're back.
Welcome back to the show. Disoriented, Meg. What makes you feel that?
Okay, well, I did go to Alaska last week, and that was disorienting.
I could imagine.
Oh, boy, was it.
Let's talk about Alaska. I've been so excited to hear what you guys experienced, what you guys did, who you saw. Not a friend of the show, but friend of us.
Yeah, friend of all
there.
Of us.
Friend of all of us was there, just being his California self. But Meg, tell us everything.
I really what? Okay,
Alaska.
So why isn't he a friend of the show? Do you guys
he's never been on the show?
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that. Okay, yeah.
We'd love to have him. It's just he lives in California. The time difference is.
He's a busy man.
He's a busy man.
Yeah,
unknown comic. Anyway.
Yeah, we're not naming him, which is very for no reason.
And we won't.
Patreon. That's for the Patreon. Name names. We have Feel Feelings, Patreon's name names. We talk shit.
I got accepted into a comedy festival in Alaska. It's called the Before You Die Festival. It is so much fun. Recommend. It's definitely worth signing up for, in my opinion. I just had a blast, and I got on a lot of shows. I think I did like 5 shows while I was out there.
That's awesome.
Which was really cool of them. And yeah, Alaska is a trip. First of all, it takes so long to get there, especially if you're poor like me, because I had 2 layovers. I think it took me 11 hours total to get there. And then, okay, I was up for a full 24 hours because I left Philly at 4:30. Alaska is 4 hours behind us. So I touched down in Alaska at 2 o'clock their time. That was 6 p.m. Philly time. So already pushing it. And then I had 2 shows that day. At 7 and 9. Yeah.
The delirious text messages that were coming in like fresh off the plane. Cause you know, you can't text a lot when you're traveling by plane. So there's just like a lot of quiet time to yourself as you're stuck on long, long travel. And the messages were like, I don't know what's happening. What is this?
Oh, from me, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God, my gate changed and I had to actually run through the Seattle airport, which is so embarrassing.
Oh, I
But
can't
yeah.
wait to get to my part of the Seattle airport.
But yeah, so that was really fun. So, and then so 9 p.m., the last show that I was on was 1 p.m. our time. And that's when I did the show
1
and I
a.m.
hit 1 a.m. our time. And I hit 24 hours of being awake. And they had on Wednesdays, it was they had a steak special at this freaking bar. They were selling steaks till 2 a.m.
It
So I
was the
got a
most amazing bar I've
$15
ever
steak.
seen.
And that's so disorienting, right? I'm like, I've been up for
Oh,
24
yeah.
hours. I've had two drinks and I feel so drunk because I'm so tired. And I'm eating a steak in Alaska.
With my bare hands.
I didn't do it with my bare
24
hands.
hours ago, I was waking up in Philadelphia. I am now eating a steak for a pretty good price in
Yeah.
Alaska, clear
It was a
across.
big George. I have to show it to you. It was they did
Please.
not skimp out on it. It was the
Oh,
size of
yeah.
my face.
If you know how big Meg's face is, it was that
I have a big head.
big.
So
How dare you?
yeah.
How dare you
And then also
disrespect your future wife like
disorienting.
that?
Yeah, how dare you?
I
I
didn't
am
say it
your
was a
big-headed
bad
wife.
thing.
The other thing is that I was drinking on one of the last days early. We started at like 7, and I was really drunk at like 9 p.m. Alaska time, and I went outside and it was bright, bright daylight.
Yeah, they got the midnight sun. It's
And
great.
I was
Like,
like,
the
what?
sun's not even going down at 9. It is daytime at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, this full on daytime. And then the other disorienting thing was our Airbnb was really low key, and instead of like having a flat screen TV with like Netflix, we had one of those little tiny like 3D TVs, those squares, and it had one DVD player.
Yeah, we had a 12-inch tube television mounted on the wall, but not mounted like you
Wow.
think now, where like it's part of the wall. There was
No,
a
like
tray
morning
sticking out
announcement.
of the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dive
Yeah.
bar or morning announcement TV.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
it
and we
had
watched
a
a lot of Adam
yeah.
Sandler.
It had a built-in VHS player, but they didn't have VHSs for us to watch. They had like Amadeus, and it's like, I'm not watching Amadeus on
You don't watch
VHS.
Amadeus?
That ain't gonna be my day here. But
Yeah.
yeah, it was a DVD player on a shelf very near to the ground with the white and yellow cords precariously like sticking out of the front of the TV. So I just really want to paint the picture that we went back in time.
Yeah.
Like we were
That's what
20
it felt
years
like. Not
ago.
only by hours, but years.
Yeah.
And
Yes, yeah, so
like
that's a lot to go through.
they
That's
had the type of
crazy.
DVD collection that you would have when DVDs were like a current thing, where it's just like, oh, sure, that movie, why not? I'll get that one. Like
Oh
we watched
man.
This Means War and Raising Helen. Like it was a
Yeah.
lot of that type of movie. It's just like, sure, yeah, DVDs are cheap. They're everywhere. Why not buy all of them? That's what their collection was.
But I like them. I
Oh,
love This Means War.
they
I was
felt
like, this is way
great.
more fun
It
than I thought.
felt so nice.
You would like take a nap on the couch and you'd wake up to the play screen on the DVD
Oh,
playing, and you're like, wow, am
what
I
a memory.
16 again? What's happening? I feel like a kid.
The best move my mom ever did, we had a big Halloween party at our house 25 years ago, and she put in the DVD player the start screen to 28 Days Later, which just looks like news footage of a zombie attack happening. And I
Wow.
was like, man, my mom knows how to set a mood.
That is
Cindy
really
Rogers,
good.
don't fuck around. She's like, oh, we're just gonna add this little creative motif and we're gonna scare the children.
Amazing.
That is such, I mean, I love the name of the festival because, going to Alaska before you die is something that I think a lot of people should do. But also the fact that you got to do it with something that you love and with someone that you love is truly incredible.
Kevin?
I'm you were there.
I'm kidding.
But no, it's like what a cool experience, what a cool thing to do, even if it's even if it's the most disoriented you've ever been in your life, it's worth it. It seems like such a worth it thing to do, to go and do your craft for crowds? Yeah. Were crowds? Were crowds mostly other comics booked, or was it people were stoked to be there?
They were really good shows.
No, yeah, it was. I did a few shows with Jess Michelle Singleton. She's so funny, and she just sold out everything she did. She's like a star, and it was people. Fun people. So, except I do think the first show I did, I was again delirious, and I tried to do some crowd work in the beginning, and boy did I eat it. Ooh. And like I was thinking back at it, and I was like, yeah, none of that made sense. I think I said that, like, I think I'm one of the only comics from the East Coast here, which is a weird feeling because it means I'm richer than all of my friends, but too poor to not have to have had like two layovers. I was like, I feel like Taylor Swift. Like, I'm like the Taylor Swift of layovers, and nobody laughs because it's not funny and it doesn't make any sense. And then I was like, all right, I'm too tired to riff. So yeah, for the next show, I did not.
I wrote this on my layover, my first layover, when I was running to my plane. And I just wrote something. My phone's charging. I wrote something down, and it was that just that same Seinfeld. Like, I wrote this down half asleep. It's very funny. And then you read it again. You're like, I have no idea what this means or what any of this is.
I wrote something after Beer Fest, and like I was conscious enough to like know that I was writing it, but there's no way I want to like actually read it today. Like, I know I have that note on my phone, but I don't want to look at it. I don't want to know what I thought was funny last night.
The difference here is that Meg had it in a waking sleep running past the Cinnabon to try to catch a flight to the most removed area of the United States.
It's insane. You feel that's the other thing is like there's this weird sense of danger. Like, I wonder if I stayed there for a long time, like a month, if I would ever settle. But for the whole week, oh my, and this might make it sound, this as far as disorienting goes, it was so worth it. Like, it was so much fun. It was disorienting and like, oh, this is so different than any trip I've ever been on. But there is just like this underlying sense of fear because you're so far away from everything, you're so isolated. And then, you know, people are like, there might be bear, there might be moose. So you're like trying to walk around and be a normal person, and you're like, I could die at like any second.
At any moment. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing I kept saying was that like the whole time it felt like a city where it could at any moment just change its mind about following the laws.
Yeah. 100%.
They'd just be like, you know what? We don't do that anymore. And then it would just be like the chillest purge.
Because what? America's going to come and get them? No.
Yeah.
They're too far. We'd be like, all right, Alaska, good luck on your own.
Yeah. Like, we don't actually.
Thanks for the
this.
Resources that we've already mined 150 years ago.
Yeah.
We're good now. Go do whatever you want.
God, we kept learning about a terrible earthquake that they had, and everybody would talk to us like it was.
1964 earthquake.
Yep. Everybody would talk to us like it was, you know, you've probably never heard of this before, but like literally we had a tour guide, like a bus tour guide, who told us, and then we pulled into the place where we were going, and the two women got onto the bus to give us like the spiel about the animal reserve, and we're like, and there was an earthquake in 1964. Isn't that crazy? And we're all like, he just said it. Like,
this is all you got going on, Anchorage? This is.
But I mean, it was a pretty crazy. When I hear about this earthquake, there was a city that actually just dropped off into
the
ocean.
Guys,
it's underwater.
We had an earthquake as well this week.
I know.
So that's right. And let's roll it back. Okay, we did what we could. All right.
The plate, like, no, their land.
I told my wife in the other room to not move. I'm a hero.
was that earthquake in Central Jersey?
Yeah, it was actually right by my friend's house. my mother-in-law is still going through PTSD from it, and it was like, and then I heard the glasses rattle, and I was like, and? Oh no, they just rattled.
That was it. All right. Yeah, we were hearing those stories from people at home where, like, you know, people on one side of a room felt it and people on the other didn't, while like we're getting the story told to us of this 1964 earthquake where
disappeared.
Like, it shook in a way that put parts of Alaska below sea level, so the ocean just rushed in and flooded a whole area. And then trees sucked up the water, as trees do, and pickled themselves.
Pickled the trees, and they're still pickled.
There's just pickled trees all over Anchorage.
Yeah.
Our glasses shook, guys. get over it.
there was a bar the
I bet you their glasses shook.
We don't have time to adequately describe this bar. And I also feel very disoriented. I want to be like, did I walk through the Russian memorabilia hallway to get to the underwear bar? Or did I go from the underwear bar through the Russian memorabilia hallway down to the dance club? It was really hard. But
it sounds like that gay club on Kamak that has every other room is a different theme. And you're like, I don't know where I am anymore.
Yeah, it was five distinctly different bars. And like they all had different music playing and you could walk past the threshold of hearing one into the other. Like they didn't bleed over at all.
An arcade.
There was live music at the one bar. And then you would just walk far enough and you would hear the DJ playing on the next bar. Like it was real
that
weird.
That sounds incredibly disorienting. And that is why we're happy to announce on the podcast that while they were there, both Getzes arranged for the first live recording of Feel Feelings at Before You Die Festival next year.
Yeah. I mean, Meg did get to record a Real Chills in a haunted Alaskan hotel.
It was so cool. It was so fun.
Oh man.
Yeah. But the story I was about to tell before I derailed myself trying to describe this bar, in the underwear bar, where if you spend $10, you get to hang your underwear from the ceiling. That's it. $10, you're a friend of the room, you're a patron, you get to leave your underwear behind for everybody.
This is what Patreon was meant for, always.
George, the underwear was hanging low enough to hit me in the face, so you would have just been in the underwear.
Like, I don't want to go to that bar.
Yeah, but
no, it's fun. You go to the bar and you get a duck fart shot.
Duck fart, real good. But the bar itself,
they both sound like quacks.
Get out of here. the bar itself was from a different bar that was kind of on one of the fault lines of the 64 earthquake. And when they were going to salvage stuff, they saw that it was like, you know, mostly intact. And they were like, oh, we can just kind of pick up the bar and move it somewhere else. But when they moved it to the like weird back corner room of this new bar where they put it, instead of fixing the bar, they just kept it at like a full 45 degree angle.
It has like this crazy angle. Like if you have to hold your beer, because if you put it down on the bar, it will slide.
Yeah, it's a full slope.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about it, Alaska amazing. Was way more disorienting than I thought.
That's still though, to just go to the funhouse city of 45 degree angle bars, haunted hotels, earthquake fissures opened up in the streets.
The weirdest part about it is that it still felt like it just existed for tourists. Like that's what they were presenting, which is like weird as hell. But you could tell that it's like your weird grandma who's like, my grandkids are gonna love this, and you don't give a shit. Yeah. It felt very much like that. Like they had like a tourist map, and our Airbnb was just off the bottom corner of the map. And the place where we were when we got the map was all the way across the map. So in a half hour, we walked the entire city of Anchorage.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. I
was
would
like Epcot, Alaska.
Epcot, Alaska is an incredible sketch idea.
Just the cutest bears.
Everyone should go, and the festival was amazing. I can't praise it enough. It was
a
lot of fun.
They do a great job.
They try to make it worth your while for sure. Like they took us to that conservation center like on their own. Like we didn't have to pay to go to it.
Wow. So they were entertaining the talent for coming up that far. That's incredible.
They
Like I got to go. Like that's the level of, you know, putting themselves out there for the people that they brought up. They're like, I wasn't on the festival. I was just there. And they were like, yeah, get on the bus. What are you doing?
Same name.
They brought, we did.
Like, oh, I guess there's two Getzes. That's why there's a Z.
Right before we got on the bus, we all had mimosas in a parking lot.
That sounds great. Well, I'm glad it was an amazing time. I'm glad you ran into friends like the incomparable Kevin O'Fee.
Who?
Who's so California. He's so California, guys. Shaka, bro.
California.
Yeah, no, he's a full Phantom Planet, that California boy. But why don't we see if anyone else has been to Alaska or what anyone else had to think about Disoriented? Roll clip.
Just enough.
Hey, speaking of disorienting and VHSs from another time and being in a place from another time, I have this from Casey's collection, which is the NSYNC and Britney Spears VHS tape.
Whoa.
35 All right. minutes of music videos from NSYNC and Britney Spears. Bye, bye, bye. This I promise you live.
Live?
Live.
Ooh, what a privilege.
Oops, I did it again. Born
did what?
To make you happy, and then exclusive making of video footage.
I mean, that's what I'm in it for.
Bring it to Alaska. What do people say?
So, the first one threw me off a little bit because it brought new information to my life. But stomach bug cannonballed with parvo 24 hours later. Been a very weird 4 days. ... Where am I?
And we hope you're okay.
Parvo.
Yeah, what?
I didn't
know
previously,
if you had parvo.
Yeah, I previously thought parvo was a dog disease. But when I questioned, like, parvo wasn't a typo, the response was, yeah, humans can get it too. Fun.
Wow. How does... So, explain parvo for the listening audience, if you wouldn't mind.
I know
what parvo is. Med
it's a fairly
parvo
serious
is.
Dog disease. It's, I mean, it's like a survivable dog disease, but, like, you know,
it's hard for puppies.
It's
puppies
pretty
die.
Rough. Yeah, it's a lot of, like, you know, like you have the flu, but the dog has that.
Ooh, I hate.
But
that.
Yeah, it's a rough one for dogs, and I imagine you know, the human version bark. Yeah.
A rough one for dogs. A rough one for dogs, guys. You get that? You get the humor of Dan Getz?
I was trying to not have to edit this, but you know what?
A rough one for dogs.
I'll take the spikes out and I'll fix all the times where I wasn't actually on the episode.
Oh, rough one for dogs. It's the new t-shirt for the show.
The confusing part of the whole thing for me too is that I'm fairly certain the commenter doesn't have a dog. So it's just like the strictly human version of it.
He's just rolling around in a dog park.
That'll do it.
Trying for it.
Okay, next one. Fucking tax season.
Oh, awful.
Happy
I don't
owe
anything this year, guys.
Oh, congratulations.
Give it up to me.
I didn't do it yet.
I owe for one job, but not for the other, which is great.
Hell yeah.
Which is
paid
also
for comedy?
No.
Oh.
I had to have a summer job because my regular job is great.
That's right. Yeah, tax season's gotta be the worst. And disorienting, because it's like I've watched enough, like, YouTube videos to understand that, like, the only reason why it is so complicated is because they have to keep it complicated, because it's actually very simple and they could just give us the check or a bill at the end of every year. They could monitor it all themselves for each individual person.
Yeah.
And instead they make you go to an H&R Block, or they make you buy the TurboTax software.
Like, I don't understand why the taxes that come out of my paycheck aren't just paying my taxes.
Yeah. Make it easy. Make it make sense.
And, like, the fact that I get a refund every year, why are they taking more taxes than I'm supposed to? I would love to have that money all year. Like, getting that money now is nice, but I spend lump sums. I save small amounts of money.
They design it so you may get a small lump sum of money to then immediately put back into the economy.
Exactly.
I swear to God, the foam roller that I use for my back, they sent me an email that was like, tax season refund sale. We know you just like they're just not even lying about it. Like, we know you just got money back. Why not buy another foam roller?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you look at like any retail store, they have their like April sale. And like that's what it is. That's deals. Strictly the reason they have their April sale.
Deals, deals, deals.
Because it's not springtime. No one buys because it's spring.
No. No, it's because you may have gotten some money back and they want it instead of it going back into your home or for your own well-being. No, they're just like, no, you want this foam roller? No, yeah. No. Guitar Center wants you to buy another guitar. Don't you want a guitar pedal? Don't you want a guitar pedal?
Come on, nerd.
Come on, nerd. Fuck you. Take this guitar pedal. Give us $200.
Retail therapy, man. It makes you happy, right?
It makes you happy. Don't you want to be happy?
You're so sad after paying taxes. Get happy. Spend it.
And then before you realize that you had $200 that you could have used to benefit your life and yourself and your well-being, you have a $200 guitar pedal. And you're like, oh, what? Huh?
You know the thing? Because I just did mine today. And the thing that I realized is I don't know how to actually do my taxes. Like with the W-2, I just use like whatever TurboTax or whatever. But like, it's not doing anything. I don't have any crazy write-offs or anything like that. Any stipulations that would change anything for me. So it's very like, put in the numbers. Here's your thing. Great job.
I unfortunately was.
But I don't know how to do that myself.
Yeah. I was unfortunately raised by like an insurance lady. So I have a lot of like Roth IRA paperwork that I have to file I don't put any money into, but I have it. And it saved my ass every single time, Eddie, because I claim it and they go like, oh, no, OK, that's deductible. That'll work. And each and every time, like, I don't know what to do. I just know that I have to save the file when they give it to me in February on my computer and then send it to the guy. But at a certain point, I'm not checking this man's work.
Yeah.
I could either be owing the government so much more and they're going to come for me, or I owe him, like, he's cheating me out of money. There's no way to know unless you do it yourself, and you're still relying it up to TurboTax, which is owned by Intuit, which is an organization that just wants you to
also
buy.
Also owns MailChimp.
I will pay them like $50 more if they just tell me the number. Like, keep making me do it this way because you're rich and can make the government do that. But like, if I give you $50 extra, can you just have the government tell you what I owe you?
That'd be so nice.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would give anything to just not have to click through and act like I know what I'm doing and then be like, all right, I hope I don't get arrested this year.
Genuinely.
I did my best. My
every year. Every year is just, I wonder if this is the year that what I've been doing is found out to be fraudulent. And that they're going to send me to jail.
And see, that's the fear that lets it keep perpetuating. Oh my God. Like, if I do this myself, I'm probably going to mess up because they've told me it's difficult and nobody can do it by themselves.
Everyone can do it by themselves.
But everyone can do it by themselves. Everyone I just don't know how to actually file it. Like, that's the part that I don't know.
Maybe they should have taught us that in schools rather than cursive and the Civil War for the 8th time.
But see, they can't, though, because the same government runs the schools.
Very true.
They're gonna work against their own interests.
Move on.
So,
what's the next one?
I think the best thing to counteract disorientation is to collapse capitalism. What else did people say?
Yeah, get rid of disorientation with disorientation to my new cult.
Yep.
So the last one we got.
Here's the syllabus.
Yeah. This is a good start for it. When you're waking up, but you are actually dreaming about waking up before actually waking up.
Oh my God. I had when I was a child, I had a dream that I woke up and got out of my top bunk of my bunk bed 4 times. Before I woke up on the bottom bunk. It was the most frustrating experience. Like, I remember being an 8-year-old going, Jesus Christ, I have to stop waking up.
Yeah, one of these times I'm going to be up for real.
Oh, God, it's awful. Ooh. I hate that feeling.
I kind of enjoy it. It's weird and, like, you know, disorienting. But it's like, a safe disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you realize you're stuck in it, it's like, all right, let's see how far this goes.
Let's live this Groundhog Day for a little bit. Great disorienting. Great disorienting suggestion in the chat there. God, I hate that so much. But you know who I don't hate? Your
Kevin
beautiful,
Ophie?
Your beautiful future wife, Meg Goetz. Thank you so much. It's you. It's you, Meg Goetz. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for talking about your Alaska trip. It sounded incredible. Yeah. It sounded like you've really fulfilled a thing that you needed to do before you died.
I did. It was
if
great.
I had to make one recommendation, do a cruise.
Yeah.
That's how I went
that's,
to Alaska.
That's probably the right way. Yeah.
Cruising was fun.
Yeah, because we kind of did like land excursions. So similar, you know, like because Anchorage is fun, but to see the fun stuff, you do have to drive like an hour or 2 hours.
Yeah.
For, like, I think
that,
the
that
cruise
was the part of the festival aspect of it too, is that there was stuff that had like we had to be back by a time. So like you couldn't go just all day for like the Aurora Borealis excursion, like all that kind of stuff. Like yeah, do the cruise.
Do a cruise. If you got it, do a cruise.
Alaska, well worth it.
Meg, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for doing a lightning round again and sharing what makes you feel disoriented. Dan, I'll see you this week.
Woohoo!
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Goetz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FeelFeelingsPod and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/FeelFeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
We're such a professional show.